Hello and welcome to Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, talking all things golf in Wisconsin, here's Gary and Rob. Talking.Golf is sponsored by Golf Time Midwest Magazine. If you haven't seen it in your mailbox with your copy of the 2023 Wisconsin.Golf yearbook, you can find it on Wisconsin.Golf by following the link on the right side of our main page. It will take you to the digital version of the magazine where you can find directions on how to enter Golf Time Midwest Magazine's Great Golf Story Contest. The basics of the contest are this: 350 words max, funny, fantastic, or of human interest. The lucky winner will be the most popular person around because he or she will win a weekend getaway for six to Eagle Ridge Resort in Galena. You have until May 1st to enter the contest, so go over to our website at wisconsin.golf for more details. You can also go to our sister website, golftimemag.com, and fill out the online entry that includes space to write your great golf story. And alongside Gary D'Amato, Rob Hernandez here, the great golf story of today, the great blizzard of 2023. Gary D'Amato, these weather forecasters are about as good as the people forecasting the NCAA tournament pools this week. And and it just, I don't know, someone, our good friend Jason Karnowski, who has been helping out with getting me some names of courses that are opening, and used to work with Jason at the State Journal. He said there were 2 to 4 was expected, or maybe 4 to 6 in Oregon, Wisconsin. And they're part of that band near Madison that got 12 inches of snow. Let's find out what the Caledonia headquarters of Wisconsin.Golf, how deep onto the yardstick did the snowfall go, Gary?
We got a solid 9 inches, Rob, and I say a solid 9 because it almost feels solid. It's just such a heavy snow. The good news is that the sun came out, you get your driveway cleared, and it got up into the high 30s, I think, and so there was a lot of melting going on. But yeah, as far as golf is concerned, forget about it for the rest of the month of March, that's for sure.
Well, and that's disappointing. Let's first go with the breaking news from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel JS Online website. The official snowfall totals in some of the metro parts of the state, according to the National Weather Service, snowfall totals in the Madison area, as we said, 12 inches, 9 inches in Milwaukee, 14 inches in Appleton. Now, originally, that wasn't supposed to be the case. The heavier snow was supposed to be down on a line from Monroe over to Sheboygan, so that went north a little bit. Other snowfall reports, according to JS Online, it was officially 8.9 at Mitchell International Airport, where a lot of people on my Facebook feed, Gary, were trying to get back to overnight, and including, I believe it was UW-Stevens Point women's basketball coach Matt Hockett, who had his family down in Florida. He posted a picture of their flight pattern, and it was a loop around Atlanta. They were in the air as the snow was hitting and as Mitchell must have closed. And so they wound up back in Florida for one extra day. Not a bad place to spend one extra day. But Ripon, 12 inches. Waukesha, 11 inches. Elkhorn, 8.8. Oshkosh, 12.6. Green Bay, 14.5. Our friend Rob Guyette, former sports writer at the Green Bay Press Gazette, said there won't be any golf played in Green Bay in a while because they still had snow on the ground. 6.5 inches in western Racine County, 9.9 inches in Watertown. I don't know, Gary. It just seems like, it's the winter that won't end. I know that we've had winters that continue to linger, but this one is really starting to, I think, test everybody's patience.
Well, no doubt about it, Rob. I read somewhere the other day that if we got this was before this snowfall, that if we got 10 more inches, it would be the snowiest March since 1965 in Milwaukee. And we did get close to 10 inches. So I'm assuming, it's the snowiest March in 50 some years here. By now we've got a few rounds in. Very rare to get a big snowfall. It happens, of course, in late March, but, very rare to get this kind of snow this late in the season. And I hope this is not a harbinger that we're going to get another one, in early April. Let's hope this is the last big one, Rob.
Well, as I look at my weather.com app, snow showers before noon on Wednesday in the Madison area, where the temperature is supposed to go up to 37, but at some point during the day, it's going to be either end the day at 19 or start the day at 19. Kind of feel it'll be the latter, but and you know it's weird because we've got Friday 53 degrees with rain. Sunday and Monday of next week, the second and third, 53 and 52. That's golfable, and but yet you know it's on this weird yo-yo where we've got some temperatures that, up into the 50s, then they go back into the 40s. I don't get it, Gary.
Well, you were breaking up there a little bit, Rob, but I'm guessing it was more bad news you were delivering.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying that there's a chance for snow on Wednesday in Madison. It seems as though for every, for every 50 degree day, there's two 40 degree days, and they're kind of back to back. It's just nothing consistent all the way to the end of the forecast. Now, the 7th and 8th of April, 55 and 57, but typical of Wisconsin this time of year, a lot of those warm temperatures come with rain. Would you go out and play in the rain, Gary, if course is open and the temperature was okay? How desperate are you to play?
I'm pretty desperate, but I wouldn't go on the rain right now, even with the snow gone, because it is going to be just a muddy quagmire, Rob. But the good news is that we're recording this podcast on Saturday, and a week from Sunday, I get in my car and turn the wheel south toward Augusta, Georgia. So I'll be able to put the snow behind me, hopefully in a week, and get somewhere warm.
That is positive, the power of positive thinking. Now, I'm not sure, nowhere on this list that La Crosse area wasn't mentioned. So early in the week, I spent most of the time trying to, update that course openings list. And I'm not sure, Mike Davis, who places our stories on our page, might have just taken that thing down. No, we've got it up here still. So technically, we've got about 24 courses that are open, not quite two dozen. The one that caught my eye, though, they did a wonderful job, and I saw that it opened on Thursday. Trempealeau Mountain, which I think you and I played once,
We did.
north of La Crosse, and they're open, and I think they avoided the snow, and so they're going to stay open. And it's I, and again, it's a I thought it was a great golf course for the, the middle of the Cooley region, and they're the one. Every other course on our list, from Lake Windsor, which opened in the southwest part of the state near DeForest. On March 7th to Evergreen down at Elkhorn. I mean, all these are you better call ahead and make sure that that they're going to reopen and reopen soon. Now, I got text we had three or four couples from well two from Wisconsin, one from Colorado with us over the last week, and they flew home on Thursday just ahead of the snowfall. And today on our little thread, I got a lot of pictures of the deep snow in New Glarus and in southwest side of Madison, Elm Grove. And then Jim Kelch weighed in with his back patio near the TPC Wisconsin. None of it looked good, Gary. I mean, it was to see snow on grills that were used within the last week, not a good scene.
No, and I don't know how Trempealeau Mountain has managed to stay open because, I mean, they're not all that far from Minnesota and the Twin Cities, Robin. They've been, I mean, surely you've talked to Rachel, your daughter, and they've gotten a lot of snow by her, haven't they?
They have, yeah. And so I was kind of surprised, but I went on the Trempealeau Mountain Facebook page, and even I think it was yesterday they did a thank you to the grounds crew up there, and rightly so. I mean, you want to talk about MVPs, to get a course that far north open that soon is really saying something. And but like I said, I believe that they got that open, and I think it's going to stay open because I don't think they got it. But yeah, my gosh, they've got well, there's no way that those flowers are from this year. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking at there's a the dog of the superintendent. They have a picture of him, and there's a flag in the hole next to him. Now, in the background, I'm seeing snow in some of the shady areas. So it would appear when there's a YouTube video with Oscar in it. So I'm okay, they've got it here Oh yeah, there's a lot of there's a lot of brown grass, Gary. I'll call it the dormant Bermuda of Trempealeau County, and but it's open, and I know that they had to get open because Viterbo University and my good buddy Kenny Barrett is going to host a women's one day event here on April 1st. No fooling, I think it's scheduled for April 1st, and so they need to get those courses open. And of course, that's, you know, that brings us to the next point, Gary, about the weather. If you're a college coach, this is agonizing, because college golf is, is such in the spring that in Wisconsin, let's start at the end of the year. Most of the NCAA bids are announced the final weekend of April, first weekend of May. And we're here, Gary, at March 25th, and that's your spring season's down to a month, unless you travel, BW Whitewater's kind of their every 4-year trip to Ireland right now. I'm not sure how good the weather will be there either, but Carthage men and women were down in Texas, didn't look all that great there, but closer to home. Washington University in St. Louis usually has a late March, early April tournament. Illinois Wesleyan down in Bloomington has something. But they're never in good conditions. And, once you get away from the Floridas and the Arizonas and the Californias, it's really catch as catch can.
Not only college, but the high school boys season has started, right, Rob?
It starts Monday with practice, Gary. And that's
okay.
Again, another thing, and one reason why I'm not back at the Gallery Classic, we'll talk about the senior event, is trying to get ready for that. And God bless Mother Nature, she keeps every year she gives me more and more time to get on top of things ahead of the spring season, and not kick myself for not entering more tournament schedules in, because a lot of these early week ones, so they can start practice Monday, Gary. Thursday is the first day they can actually play a competition. I don't think a lot of those are getting played, at least in the southern part of the state. And for that matter, it looks like, so then I guess if Trempealeau Mountain's open without snow on most of the course, it's almost like an arrow where the snow is up through the northwest, down through the south, southwest, there's nowhere that's going to be, available unless this stuff melts quickly. And with these temperatures, I'm not sure how fast 11 or 12 inches can melt.
Yeah, it's going to be around for a while. And, Rob, the high schools that have access to any kind of indoor practice facilities are going to have a huge advantage over, most of these kids obviously have been indoors all winter and hitting balls, I'm sure. But if you can get your team, at an indoor place with simulators and practice that way, it's going to help. Nothing, I don't think, replicates getting outside and hitting the actual golf shots on a golf course, but indoor golf is better than nothing at this point.
It is, but I think, and again, I remember when my daughter was in college, and had, especially the years that Stout qualified for nationals and more recently UW Whitewater, qualifying for the national tournament for the last, I think, 7-8 years in a row. When you get handed these kind of springs, you're at a huge disadvantage to the other schools around the country. There've been a number of Division III, I call them mega tournaments, where a lot of the ranked teams are playing down in like Georgia, and there was one down here in Arizona, a few in California. If you're not in those fields, you're not playing until, let's say, April 15th, and it's hard to get into that rhythm. So that's going to be difficult. And again, you can't, you think about it, I think it's about the middle of May conference tournament starts. So every week you lose on that front end, of the season, you really don't have much space at the back end to replace these tournaments. And there's so many tournaments now. I saw Ed Swab putting out a call for volunteers for the MAC Fund Invitational, which now has two sites, I believe, at the club at Lac La Belle and at the Erin Hills, those are locked in. You can't invent another 15-team tournament if it gets snowed out in the first week of the season, because there's really no room to pack that. And you know, courses, you know, they schedule based on when there's availability. So yeah, there's a lot of things with this snowfall that really complicate things. And, I know that, you know, looking at some of the Facebook pages with our Wisconsin golf group, you know, so many people eager to get outside. And a year ago, Gary, we weren't having this conversation because courses were open and for the most part stayed open. We didn't have this kind of snowfall. This was a kind of a roundhouse right to the golf community.
Yeah, we had the 10-incher in Milwaukee a couple of weeks ago, and now another 9 inches on top of that. And that 10 inches had all but melted except for, you know, a few big where it had been plowed into big mountains. And then to get this one on top of it's disappointing. But Rob, you know, I posted a picture today of my yard and just said no more golf in March. And some guy answered and said, well, at least you didn't have to deal with this. And it was a clubhouse on a golf course in Alabama that looked like it was destroyed by a tornado. And they got hit really hard in Mississippi. So, yes. You know, snow is bad, but that kind of damage and that kind of destruction by tornadoes south of us is a lot worse than some snow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's the long and short of it here with the weather. And we will continue to update course openings once they start to trickle back in, once the snow melts. Gary, the weather wasn't a problem where I went yesterday. It was Rancho Mirage, California. It got up to 73 degrees, very sunny. There was some great snow on the San Jacinto Mountains, which almost, when we lived there, almost never had snow. You had to look at Big Bear and in some of the other places. And I think can you hear me, Gary? Because you look like you're locked up now. Oh, there you are. Okay. Uh-oh. Gary? This is weird. We're having some trouble, folks, and I'm not sure why it is with the connection. There we go. I see Gary D'Amato now.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we've got...
Now I hear you.
So Rancho Mirage, California, the first gallery classic at Mission Hills Country Club, the Dinah Shore course, and got to follow Steve Stricker, Mario Tiziani, and Jerry Kelly. All three shot 69 yesterday. We delayed this podcast and the recording of it until we had a handle on what was going on today. And I'll tell you what, it was some interesting stuff back there today as Steve Stricker eagled the final hole to get to 7 under. And let me just quick call up my PGA Tour champions leaderboard.
Yes.
And two shots off the lead. I wasn't sure how David Toms played that last hole, but you know, it's a great golf course. It hosted the used to be the Nabisco Dinah Shore. Most recently, it's the Chevron Championship, which now is relocated to Texas. And Mario Tiziani had some great insights. It's not a U.S. Open course, but it was behaving like one. And looking at the 17th hole reminds me of one of the late par threes on the course rotation on the South Course at Torrey Pines. And there were a lot of guys even today coming up short on that hole. It's a par three up the hill. And you factor that in with, there was some, you know, for every eagle like Steve Stricker made, and apparently Jeff Maggart was the only other one that made an eagle on 18 today. You know, there were bogeys, there were scrambling pars, and it got tough down the stretch. And David Toms gets in at 70 after shooting 65 yesterday, 2 under. When Mario Tiziani and Steve Stricker were stuck at 2 under before Steve's eagle on 18, you know, I kind of thought it was a wasted opportunity, but not many guys went low today. And the wind's been a factor, and the late in the day coolness of the desert also a factor. So as Gary just said, Steve Stricker, after 69-68, just two shots back. Mario Tiziani with a chance for a big payday this week, currently T15, and he shoots a 70. But what made Mario's round special was he pulled one out of bounds on one and made a triple bogey and still came back to shoot a 270. He kind of joked about it yesterday. That was Steve's deal yesterday, Gary. Steve started out really bad. I mean, he had three bogeys in a row. You almost never see that out of Steve Stricker, and he came back to shoot 69. And Mario was kind of steady. Jerry Kelly had the lead early in the round yesterday and then fell back to 69. Today, a 71 with a bad bogey on the last hole for Jerry Kelly. He's currently T23, but not a bad showing. It's just really hard week in and week out, Gary, to figure out who's going to be the hot golfer. David Toms has been on somewhat of a roll here lately, and is the guy that everyone will be chasing going into the final round. That said, what are your thoughts on the way especially Steve Stricker's chances of catching David Toms?
Yeah, you know, Steve had a pretty ordinary round going, Rob, until that 18th hole. You know, if he pars that hole, he goes into the final round, four shots off the lead with a bunch of guys ahead of him. And that eagle, you know, pulled him to within striking distance, you know, two shots back with only one guy really ahead of him, and he's tied with a couple other guys. But I like his chances. He's been a top 10 machine. I think he's, since the beginning of last year, Rob, beginning of the 2022 season, I think he only has finished out of the top 10 twice, I believe, on the Champions Tour. He's been amazingly consistent. I talked to him the other day about something else, and I just remarked on how he's been a machine, and he just said, I'm trying. Well, whatever he's trying is working, Rob.
Well, and I go back to the Kolhagaard Classic where he shot 70-66 and then a very pedestrian 71 in the final day, went from three behind David Toms to finishing six back in a tie for eighth. And that's kind of the same situation we have here, where we've got a guy in David Toms who isn't, I guess, what you would call a classic closer, but is once again in position to win a tournament here on the PGA Tour Champions. You know, 2 weeks after having won one last week, Steve almost came from behind to win the whole classic and in Newport Beach. So, but Ernie Els held on to win. Or actually, he leapfrogged. I believe it was Bernhard Langer at one point, and then Doug Barron wound up finishing tied for second with Stricker. So Steve's had his chances. It just it'll be interesting to see if he can put a low one together tomorrow.
Yeah, and I think he's on a streak of, I believe it's now 34 consecutive rounds of par or better on the Champions Tour, which leads the tour. It's the longest streak on tour. So you would expect something under par tomorrow. Just depends how far under par. You know, 5-6 under par probably puts him in the conversation. You know, 2 or 3 under par probably won't be enough. But we'll wait and see. It's going to be an exciting final round.
The Cinderella story in the top five of the leaderboard is Harry Rudolph, a guy from Southern California who played a lot of junior golf opposite Phil Mickelson and had a solid college career, but never made it on the PGA Tour, or at least for any length of time. And he shot 500 par 67 today, one of the low rounds of the day, and he moved up 19 spots in the T3. He's twice a Monday qualifier and could be the Stephen Elker of 2023. And Stephen Elker right there tied for third with Stricker and Rudolph as well. It's just fun to see all these stories. You know, you've got guys that are there every week, and then you've got the guys who are trying to make it on the tour. And Harry Rudolph will be someone to keep an eye on tomorrow, because tell you what, a good finish here might get you places, including that U.S. Senior Open at Century World in Stevens Point. I know there's a lot of guys that are hoping not to have to qualify for that.
Yeah, I read somewhere the other day, Rob, one of the national columnists said that the Champions Tour has become sort of totally irrelevant and that people don't care about it. And I think he's wrong. I think there's still a lot of good stories on that Champions Tour, and there's still some excellent play. And there's, you know, we've got certainly rooting interests in our state with Strickland, Kelly, and Mario, But I think that columnist was wrong. I think it's fun to watch these guys play.
Well, and they hit a home run playing a senior event in Palm Springs in the month of March. Yeah. Yesterday's attendance was every bit as good as any Friday crowd that we've ever seen at the AmFam Championship. And the gallery following Fred Couples was on this tour. It was Tiger-esque. And no, it wasn't, you know, 5,000 people lining the fairway from tee to green. But it was noticeable in how they wrapped every single green following Freddie from start to finish. And he is something of a celebrity here, as he was last week down in Newport Beach. And, you know, I talked to one of the PGA Tour staff members, and they said this is the perfect market for a senior event, because it's kind of that, it's not a small town. It's not a large city where you're going to get lost in other things. This is the biggest event going in the desert, in the Coachella Valley right now this week. And from what I saw on TV today and from what I saw in person yesterday, that's definitely the case. And we were talking, you know, what happens if, you know, hypothetically, if a certain, you know, what is he, a 14-time major champion you know, at the age of 50 turns, you know, to the senior tour. Fred Couples has been riding around in a cart all week, Gary. And I think not because he needs to necessarily, but because he can to help, you know, prolong his career and his back, which has given him major problems throughout the last half of his career. And, you know, if that's what gives Tiger the opportunity to compete against guys that, you know, like Fred Couples, Marco Mira, guys that he's, you know, developed, Steve Stricker, you know, a friendship with, I mean, that's going to turn this tour on its ear. And there's going to be things that have to be done to, you know, prepare for a Tiger, you know, coming out party on the senior circuit that they wouldn't if he's not there. So they're hoping that's the case. But, you know, time will tell on that. I think, you know, Tiger would like to play a few more regular events, but I wouldn't, you know, put it beyond him to, you know, embrace this tour. And if that's the case, then we see the same reaction that we saw when he joined the regular tour back in 96.
Yeah, I think Jack Nicklaus spilled the beans a couple of weeks ago and said that Tiger had mentioned to him that he does want to play the Champions Tour. Now, is he going to play 15 events? No. I would have guessed, you know, 5-6 years ago that when he turned 50, he would play the U.S. Senior Open, and that's probably it, just to add to his USGA legacy and, you know, to keep winning USGA championships.
Yeah.
But now I think he probably plays the majors and maybe a couple other events. Maybe we see him in Madison someday, which would be cool since he never came back to Milwaukee.
Well, I think it would be cool to be there. I think that would be a nod to his friendship with Stricker. I think he would play Hurricane Friends because that's been a very popular event since Jim and his wife started that a couple years ago down in Florida. And I believe it's now a part of the Schwab Cup playoffs, in fact. And then I believe that he would, you know, play any and all of the events that Freddie is aligned with, whether it's the Hogue Classic or whether it's this tournament here in the desert. Even the Boeing Classic up in Seattle kind of has a, you know, Fred Couples, you know, fingerprints over it, because that's another area where he spent a lot of time. So there's a lot of places he could play, and you know, a lot of, you know, places that have that buzz. So we will see on that. But it's just fun to watch, you know, events like this. Jerry Kelly made the comment to me, the only downer about this week is that it's followed by another 3-week break. He's coming off of a break after skipping last week's Hogue Classic, following the Players Championship, where he made the cut. And so the stop and start, it gets a little bit hard, especially for guys like Jerry Kelly, who love to play each and every week. So, but we're getting close to that point, Gary, where we have to start forecasting who we can expect to make the most noise in Wisconsin in the month of June, both at the AmFam Championship and the U.S. Senior Open up at Century World in Stevens Point.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm watching the Champions Tour every week, right? And watch those names rise and fall. And David Toms, you know, he brought up maybe questionable as a closer, but I mean, he won a PGA Championship back on the regular tour. He's got a major under his belt, and he's been playing really, really well. And there's a guy, was he a rookie last year or the year before? I can't remember. But anyway,
the year before,
he hasn't been on too many leaderboards the first year or two out on tour, but all of a sudden, he seems to be up there every week now.
Well, and believe it or not, he's the same age as Jerry Kelly. So we're talking 56 years old. So he's been out there now for 6 years.
And
kind of like Justin Leonard and, you know, and others who have joined recently, David Duval, you know, it's taken David Toms a while to kind of get to that point. I know Jim Furyk won a few events, including the U.S. Senior Open. And you know, some of these guys haven't won as much as many of the experts predicted they would when they turned 50. Again, it shows how difficult it is with guys that either have the deep, deep Hall of Fame resumes or have that chip on their shoulder that they feel that their best golf is after 50. We've seen both sides of that equation, and it's kept a guy like David Toms from winning more. So we'll see if tomorrow is his day. We'll see if Steve Stricker has the what it takes to make a rally. We'll see if Mario Tiziani is able to improve his standings in the Schwab Cup standings and the money list. And we'll see if Jerry Kelly can uncork a low one and make it an interesting Sunday at Mission Hills Country Club in Rancho Mirage, California. A couple other things to get to before we wrap things up here for a late March podcast. Gary D'Amato with some cool stuff on our site. Early in the week, we posted a story that was also – in the Wisconsin Golfer magazine. Gary's column on Matt Dusenberry of Shorewood, who's building a name for himself in the golf course design business. You know, Gary, a lot of people think that maybe, you know, golf course designers not as busy as maybe they once were a couple decades ago at the start of the Tiger boom. But boy, there's a lot of great places, destination places that seem to be, you know, calling for more golf courses. And Matt seems to be one of those guys who has answered that call.
Yeah, Matt is teaming with Graham McDowell, former U.S. Open champion, and I think they're going to do some interesting things. Rob, he couldn't really spill the beans on any of their projects yet because they're still in the very, very preliminary stages. They haven't signed any papers yet, but so it'll be interesting to see how that team works out. And, you know, a lot of golf course architects, Rob, are really busy these days with renovations and restorations of older courses because there's been an influx of money at a lot of these courses because of the golf boom, the pandemic fueled golf boom. And so, you know, Matt's really busy with restoration and doing projects at courses, existing courses. And so he's a busy guy. He's still doing a lot of work and traveling all over. He's got a project in Argentina, I think, right now. And he's one of the guys who's in demand in this business.
And he's a graduate of Appleton Xavier High School and the University of Wisconsin. He's a guy who probably could live anywhere in the world, but as you point out in your story, Gary, he's chosen to set up shop in Shorewood, Wisconsin. I think that's also where Jordan Niebuhr, his head hits the pillow these days. Shorewood becoming the golf capital of Wisconsin.
Yeah. He's like he said, you know, he's lived in all over the world basically while working on projects. He worked for Greg Norman for 15 years and, you know, was one of Greg's right-hand guys and a lead on a lot of the Greg's projects. And by the way, he said Greg was a great guy to work for. So whatever you think of him in his association with Live Golf, Matt said he was a good guy to work for. But at any rate, Matt is very busy. And I think he's going to be doing some really interesting things. I think we're going to be hearing a lot of his name in the future.
So head on over to Wisconsin.golf. Check out that story from earlier in the week. Just the other day, Gary wrote about the two junior golfers out of Wisconsin who will be maybe heading down to Augusta National a day or two before Gary will. And that is a young lady out named Addie Lupton and Alex Kim of Brookfield. Addie is from Wanakee, and they qualify for the Drive, Chip, and Putt National Finals, which has really become kind of that first quote-unquote competitive experience for young golfers. It doesn't require a hole-by-hole score. It requires a talent-by-talent score in the drive, chip, and putt proficiencies. And both Addie and Alex have made it to Augusta National through the three-stage qualifying process last fall. What did you get out of Addie and Alex and their families? How much excitement is there for this big moment here? A week from next weekend, is it already?
Yeah, it's a week from Sunday they'll be out there, and you'll be able to watch it on Golf Channel starting at 7 a.m. Wisconsin time, Rob, Central time. But yeah, both really excited. Addie, you know, when she talked about how excited she was, she repeated the word "very" 14 times. Very, very, very. You know, and kept going, excited. It was really cute. She wants to be a pro golfer someday, Rob. So we'll see. Be interesting to follow her progress. And then Alex Kim is coming up through that great pro high school program at Marquette University High. They've had a great program, as you know, Rob, well, for a long time. And he's a sophomore, played on JV last year, but is hoping to play on varsity this year. And he's got some pretty impressive swing speed. He hits his driver like 260 in the air, which isn't bad for a 15-year-old kid. But they're all long these days, Rob.
They're all longer than both of us. Yeah. That's for sure. I see where Addie plays out of Pleasant View Golf Course in Middleton. And Jeremy Sabalka, who's kind of taken over the range as the GM and the golf professional there. But going back, I mean, I think Jeremy grew up in that program as well. But, you know, they have this wonderful par three courses. You're coming into the property, and during any summer day, you can see it just lined with junior golfers. And I think that's the cool thing where, you know, Addie's kind of a, maybe a product of that junior golf program. And everything in golf is incremental, whether it's in junior golf, whether it's on the PGA Tour. You had a great story about Thomas Longbella Monday qualifying for this week's Corrales Punta Cana Open down in the Dominican Republic. And it didn't go, you know, quite as Thomas had hoped, but I know he posted on Facebook today that, you know, it was a great experience. But, you know, this is neat to see someone who might have been one of those, you know, hundreds of kids that, you know, I saw the one day I drove up there, you know, a few years ago, and, you know, on a day when there, you know, was a heavy junior lesson day, and then they get to go out to the par three course, and now taking that next step. You know, you've talked to a lot of these kids who have played in the drive, chip, and putt through national finals through the year. What do you gather is the level of, you know, maybe nervousness among these kids, and how do they fight through that? What's the key, Gary, do you think, to, you know, for these kids to make this a positive experience?
Yeah, that's a good question, Rob. You know, everyone, they all get to bring someone who can help mentor them and coach them while they're going through that experience at Augusta National. Alex is going with his whole family to Augusta, and Addie's going with, I believe, her father, Shannon. And so I think having someone, you know, you've grown up with, a parent or a close sibling that you've played a lot of golf with, I think that can help calm the nerves. But otherwise, it's just one of those things, Rob, where you have to just step up, and there is going to be pressure on you. But thankfully, you know, most of these kids who advance and get to the national finals have gone through a lot of competitive golf. Maybe not so much Addie's case because she's only 9 years old, but certainly Alex has, you know, teed it up in a lot of things. And Addie's played, you know, some of the stuff on the WPGA circuit. So they both have, you know, what it's like to feel a little pressure. It will be nothing like when they're teeing off on the driving range at Augusta National and then putting on the 18th hole on green there. But yeah, having a family member along, I think, can really help.
I've got, before we conclude this portion of the podcast, I got to ask you a question with the photo we ran of Addie swinging what looks to be a TSI driver and, or is it a TS1 driver and from Titleist. And do you see the bend on that on the it looks like a graphite shaft?
Yeah.
In fourth grade, that tells me she's got a little power.
You know, it's interesting, Rob. I talked to Jeremy about her, and he said he told Shannon, her father, from the very beginning, I want her swinging as hard as she can. We need to teach speed before anything else. You know, the dispersion, we'll deal with that later as they mature and grow a little bit. But he said that she generates some pretty impressive speed for a 9-year-old girl. And same with Alex, same with all the kids these days. But yeah, Addie swing goes at it pretty hard. And I can't wait to see how far she hits it at Augusta National.
So it'll be on Golf Channel at 7 a.m. next Sunday. And Gary, outside of the four majors, the one other event that I get a call from my daughter about every year is I can't stop watching the drive, chip, and putt national finals. I mean, it just, yeah. And you know, if you've ever been in those kids' shoes, you know that, you know, it's something that you just, you know, you know what, how special this is and the opportunity. And again, nobody loves Augusta National more than the guy on the other end of this podcast. And Gary, you can only imagine what it's like for these kids, their parents, and then to be able to watch a practice round on Monday is even sweeter. So that ought to be fun. And I know you'll catch up with these two after they're done and just see what it was like. But boy, it's really the event of a lifetime on the, you know, at that stage in a kid's career.
It is, Rob. And you know, a lot of past Masters champions, you know, who come in early to practice, put on their green jackets and walk out there and, you know, are there to encourage the kids and cheer them on and hand out the medals to the winners. And I can just imagine what I would have been like, you know, Rob, at 12, 13, 14 years old. And having back in that day, I would have been, you know, Nicklaus and Player and Palmer and those guys standing around watching me hit balls. I you can't ask for much more than that. Right.
Yeah, no, you really can't. If that had been me, it would have been four right and a very quick right. Well, Gary, it's nice that we can spend this much time talking golf after 13 inches of snow fell and 14 inches of snow fell in parts of of the state. So we'll do it again next week. Anything else that we need to get to this week besides the fact that hopefully we'll see high school golf start and golfers get back on the course once the snow melts? We can just hope that those temperatures get warm and stay warm. Is that basically how we want to end this thing?
I think that's the perfect way to end it, Rob.
All right. Well, Gary, appreciate the time. We'll talk golf again next week. Will you be on your way to Augusta yet? No, we still got time before you hit the road, right?
Yeah, I'm leaving on Sunday, April 2nd. Okay. I drive every year, so I'm leaving like 4 in the morning on Sunday. So, yep.
Well, that'll be great, and we will look ahead to that. Look back on the Gallery Classic in Palm Desert and look ahead to other stuff here on Talking.Golf. This has been Talking.Golf, sponsored by Golf Time Midwest Magazine. If you haven't seen it in your mailbox with your copy of the 2023 Wisconsin.Golf yearbook, you can find it on our website at Wisconsin.Golf by following the link on the right-hand side of our main page. It will take you to the digital version of Golf Time Midwest Magazine, our sister publication, where you can find directions on how to enter our great golf story contest. The basics of the contest are this: 350 words max, funny, fantastic, or of human interest. You have until May 1st to enter. One lucky winner will be the most popular person around. That's because he or she will win a weekend getaway for six to the great Eagle Ridge Resort in Galena, Illinois. So go to our website at Wisconsin.golf, or for more details, you can go to our sister website at golftimemag.com. That's where the .com is. And you can actually fill out an online entry that includes space for that 350-word essay that's funny, fantastic, or of human interest for the Great Golf Story Contest. For Gary, I'm Rob. We'll talk golf again next week.